Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you this Easter season from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now and a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, through it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, kept by the power of God through faith. Again, it's the central of who we are as Christians. We gather here in his name. In both of our texts, especially the gospel concludes that, how important it is that the work of salvation for us is in his name. Peter begins here by telling us we have been begotten to a living hope. Begotten is a term of new birth. That is exactly what our faith is all about. God has restored his Holy Spirit to us. Adam lost it in the fall. God has restored it to us now. And he says it's through the resurrection. You see, the new birth could not be given to us again until Jesus had paid the price for that redemption and that new birth on the cross by his holy blood. The very fact that he came out of the grave, the Father raised him out of the grave, was a vindication and a proof that that payment was worthy. It was worthy for our redemption. And not only that, not only did we receive, as Paul explains later in his epistle in Ephesians, we receive that new birth the moment that we believe the gospel. We didn't have to do anything to try to earn it. We didn't have to do anything to please God in order that he might smile on us and call us his children. And it's more than that. It's not even calling us. We are, in fact, because of the birth that he's given us, his children. Paul says, the moment you believed that gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is the new birth in Christ. How? By believing, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is by the grace of God in his grace alone. So this is the power of the resurrection that we sit here the Sunday after the resurrection day. And God, through his word and his servants, is telling us exactly what that means to you. How you can walk in the power of this new life. But really, our gospel also provided the context. Like you, on that day, the disciples were gathered in his name. They were fearful about gathering together. In fact, they gathered in one place because the Jews in the world were looking for them to persecute them and even put them to death. And Jesus came in amongst them. Even the doors were locked. He came in that resurrected body because he is both fully God and fully man, but he's also now in a resurrected body in a condition we will share in the resurrection. And even though there was no physical ability just for a physical body to enter into that room, Christ appeared to his disciples. And what was his first words as he appeared? Peace be to you. Why could he declare that peace? Remember, he's declaring that peace from the Father. The Father has sent him into the world for salvation. In fact, Jesus says this, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. So when he came into that room, he declared that glorious peace from the Father who is in heaven. Why? Because God so loved the world, saints, you know the verse, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the new birth. Simply by believing the Father's message that he sent his Son for that very purpose, to call us back home, to reunite us once again in him, in his love, and give us all of the creation that he created us for. What a wonderful day it is. Jesus said, peace to you. And then after he had said, peace to you, that it was established, it was the will of the Father to declare peace to you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's the new birth. Why? Through the blood and through the resurrection, God vindicated mankind. He gathered us to himself as his new creation. And all of us that believe in him, that's exactly what we are. We are a new creation. And we are being kept, Peter says in this text, by the power of God through faith. We believed on him, and now we continue to abide in that belief. Abiding in him and his words abiding in us, producing the fruit of faith in our life. And what is that faith leading to? It's providing salvation. We understand that, again, salvation, faith and salvation, are dynamic terms. They're not static. It's not a one-time, always event. No, we were saved the moment we believed the gospel of our salvation, the truth. We are being saved by the power of his word and his sanctifying work of his Spirit in our life. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's why he's holy. He's making us holy, conforming us into the image of his Son. What a beautiful thing. And not only were we saved and we are being saved, but we will fully be saved at the day of Jesus Christ. Because it is that day that everyone who is abiding in him in faith will receive the salvation of our souls to its fullest, the resurrection and the changing of our body like his glorious body. Oh, what a day that will be. So Peter says, in fact, with this knowledge, he says, in this you greatly rejoice. In this knowledge, we greatly rejoice. That joy of that salvation and that knowledge of salvation should be flowing out of us with the power of the Holy Spirit, confident of the things that we have understood in the gospel. In fact, the scriptures define what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it? Our future eternal life, our new bodies, our eternity with God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. We haven't seen it yet, but it's coming, saints. It's coming. And in this time, we have this genuineness of faith that keeps us and holds us in God. That's the power of God working in our life. It's his power working through the gift of faith that he's given us and empowering us never to fall away from him. Oh, to the one that would dare to turn around away from all of those graces that have been extended to him in Christ. But Peter says, but you know, right now, he says, you're being tested by the trials of life. Because he just got done telling us that we have a salvation. We have this inheritance through this new birth that's reserved for us in heaven. It's incorruptible. It can't be blemished. It cannot ever perish. It's reserved in heaven for us. We're waiting for that day. Remember Jesus' promise. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you know that he has your name right over the door on 1 Glory Street? It's yours. He's taken you there. He's promised. But right now, he left us in these sinful bodies, soon to give us a new one. But during this time, our faith is being tested. The world has always tested our faith, Christians. I can only speak again to the time that we're in. What tests our faith? What have I seen as a pastor in pastoral ministry now in some degree for 40 years almost? So what is it exactly that testing the American faith? I mean, we're American Christians. Well, again, I can't help but believe the ideologies of both Marx and Darwin have absolutely infiltrated all of our government and our political systems. They are both corrupt. But I see that the struggle, even sitting in the pews, and that ideology is not only is dividing Christians on over a political, a temporal thing that people and events are going to pass away, but there's hatred even amongst family members, this polarization. That should not be. He has given us a new birth into him. All of these things are temporal. But can you have any doubt that is the devil's voice as strong as it was in that garden when he said from that tree, did God really say? Is the world exactly the way God said it is? I think maybe Marx or even Darwin far understood this creation better. And out of that, the ideologies that have led to the destruction of life, the destruction of families and love, the dividing of the glories, the gifts that God has given to us as a people, our families, our children. And yet we go and we pull them even out of their mother's wombs. We send them off to doctors to have surgery to change their gender. Why? To maim the image of God that God has created us in. Oh, don't be deceived in any way. This is an attack on God's creation. What the world really is, it's Satan hates the image of God in you. And he's doing everything to destroy it. He's going to destroy the image in the physical children. He's going to destroy the image of God being bare in the pew. He's going to destroy that image everywhere. And the love that goes along with that image of us who are created in that image once again through the new birth. Do not be deceived. This is warfare. Peter says, no, your faith is being tested in these days. He says, but it's being tested with fire. To show that your faith that you're abiding in is far more precious than even gold. All the temporal things in this life that you might lift up and glory in because you're a part of it, it's passing away. Don't put your hope in the things of man. But glory, if you're going to glory, as the Apostle Paul said in anything, glory in the cross of Christ. In him crucified and raised again for your birth. To give you an inheritance with the Father in eternity. Peter says, he goes on to say, he says, because we've received this great birth, he says, we love him. You see, this new birth and this knowledge from the resurrection is not just about a knowledge about God. No, it's a birth as a children, as that Spirit comes into us. What is the first act of the Holy Spirit in our heart as he pours? To bring the love of God into our heart. That we can love one another. It's the new birth. Peter says, in whom, having not seen you love, though you have not seen him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. My heart does exactly that. I know him. And I can't help but go back to that very basis of the catechism. It says that answers that question, which all of us need to answer ourselves. Why did God create us? He created us to know him, to love him, and to serve him. This Easter season is all about the love of God manifest in our lives. It's not some obscure idea that just floats around out there. No, it's a real birth. It's a new, you are a new creation in Christ. He came up from that grave for you to gather you into the Father's house. We have this imperishable heritage. Oh, saints, don't throw it away for the things of the world. The things of this world are passing away. They are useless. But the love of God in Christ Jesus, as Jesus said in his word, my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words and my love for you will never pass away. Don't trade in that which is eternal for that which is temporary. But rejoice in this love that God has poured in, that supernatural act of love that he has poured into your hearts that is real. It is what wins the day. It is what helps us every day to get up and face this world and preach the gospel to people around us. But also what fills these parishes when we come in with the same mind, the same heart, and speak the same things to the glory of God. That's when the power of the resurrection is truly seen. That's our heritage, saints. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.